Hello and welcome to Page Hospital's podcast. Today, we are diving into a condition that affects the esophagus, causing significant challenges for those diagnosed with it. Joining us today, Dr. Govind Verma, interventional gastroenterologist, transplant hepatologist, and endosonologist, having wide expertise in treating and managing achalasia cardia. In today's episode, he would like to delve into the causes, symptoms, diagnosis, and treatment options for achalasia cardia, a rare esophageal disorder that affects swallowing and digestion. Dr. Govind Verma, thank you for joining us at Peace Hospital's High Tech City. Let's understand exactly what is achalasia cardia and what are the underlying causes or contributing factors to the development of achalasia cardia.
As we know, achalasia cardia, the name itself signifies A is no and cardia is basically relaxation. So basically it's a failure of relaxation of lower esophageal sphincter is an achalasia cardia. Now, why there is a failure in relaxation of lower esophageal sphincter, what is the reason for an achalasia cardia is something which is not known so far. But what exactly happens and in achalasia cardia patient is denervation of lower esophageal sphincter. That means that there is absence of ganglionic cells in the lower esophageal sphincter, leading to loss of nerve supply and ultimately leading to failure to relax the lower esophageal sphincter. Now, why I am talking about it? Because as you know, when the patient tries to swallow, normally esophageal muscles contract. That is called as peristalsis. With that peristalsis, the food goes down and reaches to the junction of food pipe and stomach. We have one wall there. We call it as lower esophageal sphincter. So that sphincter, lower esophageal sphincter, doesn't relax in a patient of achalasia cardia. Whereas normally when the food reaches with the propulsion and peristalsis down to lower esophageal sphincter, this wall opens and the food goes down into the stomach. But whereas in an achalasia cardia patient, this lower esophageal sphincter fail to relax, leading to obstruction to the passage of food from the esophagus or food pipe to the stomach.
What are the most common symptoms experienced by individuals with achalasia cardia?
Most commonly, the patient present with difficulty in swallowing. We call it as dysphagia, more common with liquids than solids. Ultimately, but it can lead to both. Other symptoms with which they present are weight loss because of the unable to eat food. There can be a putrid smell or bad breath. There can also be patient may present with retrosternal chest pain, or we call it as atypical chest pain, which is relieved by pressing over the chest or back or by pushing the water down. The food can sometime go down. And some patient can present with cough or aspiration of food pipe content into the lungs, called as aspiration pneumonia.
So doctor, could you explain the specific diagnostic test used to confirm achalasia cardia?
Achalasia cardia can be diagnosed, as it is a motility disorder of the esophagus, as we know, by doing a specialized test called as esophageal manometry. Esophageal manometry basically tells you about two things. One is how is the peristalsis of the food pipe, and second is what is happening to the lower esophageal sphincter, whether the pressure is high or low and whether it is in a state of contraction or not. So by doing an esophageal manometry, we would know that is there peristalsis there or not. If there is no peristalsis, it is an achalasia cardia. We also would know whether the lower esophageal sphincter is in a state of contraction or it has a high pressure. Then again, it goes in favor of achalasia cardia. This is just a brief overview I am trying to give you. There are three types of achalasia cardia which are defined based on esophageal manometry. So what is esophageal manometry? Basically a small catheter which is placed through the nose into the food pipe up to the lower end, and then patient is asked to make serial attempts of swallows, which are dry and wet swallows, and during these swallows recording is made on the computer on a prefixed of software, and in that we can come to know the entire movement of food pipe, which we call as peristalsis. We can notice the pressure in the food pipe and so on, and that is how the manometry studies are being done. The second investigation, which is done in old days but still valid because we come to know about anatomical finding of a food pipe, is barium swallow. When we do a barium swallow, we ask the patient to swallow a barium, which is a white liquid, and then we take serial x-rays. A patient who has achalasia cardia, we will have a classical bird beak sign. That is like, it's like a bird beak at the lower end of esophagus because it is narrowed and in a state of contraction. It doesn't relax. So it looks narrowed, and then proximally there is a dilatation of the esophagus. So it's called as bird beak appearance. Apart from that, we also come to know about size of the esophagus, like we call sigmoid esophagus, diverticuli, which is there in the esophagus, and sometimes we may have inflammation of esophagus which can be picked up and can be diagnosed. The third investigation is an endoscopy. By doing an endoscopy, what we come to know is that whether there is a resistance at the lower esophageal sphincter or not, how is the peristalsis, which we can notice while doing an endoscopy. We can also know whether there is an esophagitis or there is a basically inflammation of lower end of esophagus because of retained food which is not going down because of the failure to relax of lower esophageal sphincter. Food remains in the distal esophagus, food remains in the food pipe, and that infects and causes esophagitis, which can ultimately lead to esophageal cancer. So it is very, very important that we diagnose this condition as early as possible to prevent further complications.
Doctor, in what ways can achalasia cardia be treated and managed?
Right from start, the treatment has been evolving, and we are witnessing the 20th century, which is state-of-the-art treatment modalities have come. Initially, the gold standard of treatment was doing a balloon dilatation, wherein a balloon is inserted through the scope at the junction of the food pipe and stomach lower esophageal sphincter. We inflate the balloon under endoscopic and fluoro-guided, and we basically dilate that sphincter with the controlled radial expansion balloon, we call it as CRE, leading to relieving of the symptoms. But the problem with the balloon dilatation is that there is a risk of recurrence after 1 year in 60-70% of the cases. So the science has evolved, and then the second modality of treatment has come, which is laparoscopic Heller's myotomy, wherein by the laparoscopic surgery method, we cut the muscle fiber up to 1-2 centimeters from the GE junction, that is thereby relaxing the sphincter and then helping in patients of achalasia cardia for the treatment. But what about those patients? We have type 1 and type 3 where there is a longitudinal muscle is completely involved. In that case, laparoscopic approach may not be that useful. In that case, the new modality of treatment has come, which is called as POEM, which is per oral endoscopic myotomy, wherein with the endoscope, nowadays we can do a flexible endoscopic surgery. We can go into the esophagus different layers in the wall of the esophagus. We call it a submucosal tunnel formation, and from the submucosa we go down and cut the longitudinal circular muscle and go down till the stomach, proximal stomach, and open this muscle wall. By cutting this muscle wall, we open the sphincter and thereby helping the patients in preventing the dysphagia. So basically, POEM has evolved and stood the test of time, and it is the first line of treatment for patients who have an achalasia cardia. The advantages of POEM are that we can treat all types of achalasia cardia, type 1, type 2, type 3, although it is useful more for type 1 and 3. It also can be done as a short stay procedure. It has got other advantage that it has no scar, no incision made on the body. It is endoscopic surgery, and that's a state of art, and the results are very promising in patients who are getting treated with achalasia cardia. There are few general guidelines which we tell the patients who have an achalasia cardia is that they should not take hard foods like nuts, bread, dhoklas, and those substances which has hydrophilic properties which swell up and then can lead to more relapse of the symptoms. So whatever it is, basically achalasia cardiaca is motility disorder of the esophagus, which is usually diagnosed very late because of less awareness among clinician and among patients, and usually the high-end investigations are not available at all centers like esophageal manometry and endoscopy. So before they can get diagnosed, it's usually it takes years together before they get treated by an expert. Thank you,
Dr. Govind Verma, for sharing crucial information regarding the achalasia cardiaca to our listeners. If any of you have any further questions regarding achalasia cardiaca, please don't hesitate to consult a gastroenterologist. Remember, knowledge is power when it comes to understanding health conditions like achalasia. We will be back soon with another episode on Pace Hospital's podcast. Until next time, stay informed, stay proactive, and take care of yourself. Thank you.